Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew, the first chapter, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25 in the context of some observations, all right? This is how, would you stand with me? We'll read these together. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, I praise you. Praise you, Lord, for this really an amazing story. And I thank you, Father, that it speaks to us today. It speaks to our hearts. It speaks to our reason. And is the source of our inspiration, our regeneration, our redemption. Forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, Father. I praise you today. Help us, Lord, as we study, as we look at this text of Scripture. In Jesus' name. As the psalmist says, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. In just these few brief scriptures, we see a message coming from heaven, which clarifies the cloudy sayings from the past. It's a message that also breaks into the present with brilliance of majesty. We heard about that with the angels, the shepherds, everyone who took part in this nativity. We see it also bringing hope in the present to people. As the prophet said, those who were in darkness have seen a great light. It also stretches into the future, its future, with redemptive power. As Paul made the statement, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the power of God revealed." In the message or the preaching of the gospel is the means through which faith comes forth, belief comes forth. We see that in teachings of the Apostle Paul. And it captures hearts, literally captures our hearts. It doesn't just come into our minds, it comes into our souls. And as Ezekiel and Jeremiah prophesied long ago, the kind of the cloudy idea of a day is coming when God's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Something that they heard and they listened to, but doesn't seem to have huge impact. I appreciated Pastor Melson's sermon some time ago on Jeremiah, how that Jeremiah had a 40-year ministry, and how many converts did he have? Zero. Yet he preached this message. And in his prophetic words, he said, "A new time is coming, a new covenant with the house of Israel." And it's a time when God's going to take the heart of stone that is in us, that broken heart. And he's going to give us a new heart. And he's going to give us a new spirit. And he's going to place his spirit within us. What does that sound like? That sounds like something that's happened to us, doesn't it? We think of regeneration, being born again, Jesus' message, you must be born again. And we see this as a time, not only then, but a time now of salvation. Salvation by the Messiah, by Jesus Christ, the Lord, who God called a people to in his time frame. And he sent disciples, first the 12, then the 70. Then he spoke to the 300. And finally the multitudes. Said that every time he spoke, many, many believed on him. In fact, in one place that all believed on him. All became his disciples. They all became ones who were to be sent out, as he called them through his final commission on earth, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to gather the elect from the four winds of the earth, it says in Matthew chapter 24. Tremendous, a tremendous, tremendous story. All beginning with the nativity. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, what a great way to start a spiritual lesson. We have a woman who's pregnant out of wedlock. Or worse, she's pregnant within the context of being promised to a man. Or perhaps they're married. It's not really clear, completely clear, what the relationship is between Mary and Joseph. Although, and as a result, we could go through the idea of what it takes to be married in a Jewish context. And first of all, there's a betrothal. There's a period of time of the betrothal. After the betrothal, there's a final ceremony where you break the cup, you know, and mazel tov, and they're, now they're married. But in this tradition, a woman is considered to be her husband's wife or potentially his wife. And she's found to be pregnant within that context and not by Joseph. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 56. Back up here. We're going to rewind a bit. We're going to rewind about 14 months. Or 15 months, or 13 months, or some time past. Okay? And Zechariah, who is related by his wife to Mary, and she's very old, and he gets a chance to go into the temple on the holy day of the year. Most priests had this opportunity one time in their lifetime to go and minister in the temple on the Day of Atonement. And it's now his time to be the one who goes in. It was such a holy event that tradition says that they would tie a rope around the ankle of the priest. So when he went into the temple, if God was displeased with him and struck him dead, they knew how to get him out of the temple going in there and also dying in the temple with him. Okay, thank you for the response to my joke. And I mean, it's a historical joke, but it's still pretty funny, I think. Not my joke. Maybe it's just the way I told the joke. I don't know. But it was considered to be a holy time. Edersheim, in his book, Jesus the Messiah, builds a whole context of this event. And when he goes in there, he's planning on doing some kind of a small portion of the sacrifice. And there before the throne, or before the altar, is this angel. An angel who identifies himself as Gabriel, the one sent from God. And he gives him this message. What kind of message do you think you would get from an angel when you're going in one time in your life to present the sacrifice? You'd think that he's going to, you know, say, you know, what about that thing that you did? You need to repent of that before you give this. You know, you'd think there'd be something internal to him that the angel would be pointing at, but instead the angel says, guess what? You're favored, and your wife is going to get pregnant and have a baby. That's not the kind of thing you'd think an angel would come and tell you. Your wife's going to get pregnant. And he kind of almost was like Sarah. He had kind of a light attitude about it. My wife, you realize I'm an old man? And my wife's old? And she's been barren ever since she was young? He's like, get it, right? An angel. Do you know? Can you imagine? Do you know this? And Gabriel was a bit miffed. He said, I see him kind of standing there and saying, I am in the presence of God. That's the language. I am in the presence of God. An angel can see things that Zechariah obviously can't see, and he is literally standing in the presence of God, giving this whiny little guy, this feeble mortal, this message of what's going to happen. And it's not just so that, you know, Zechariah can get his name in a book somewhere. The man who had a wife who had a baby when she was old. This is not what it is about. It's not like singular little stories to try to give us an idea of how powerful God is and all the things that God can do. This is God's story. This is the story of His Christ coming. As you know, Elizabeth did get pregnant. And we see here in the 26th verse of Luke chapter 1, well, I don't have to guess anymore. It was 6 months, wasn't it? Did you notice that already? Now, the word sixth is very... No, I'm just kidding. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Notice the word virgin repeats itself. The virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So at this point, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 months, right? 15 months earlier, everything's fine. You know, there's no betrayal. Everything's fine. Now, do you think that God knows that if Mary becomes impregnated, that it's going to be a real blight on the message of the gospel? You think he knows that? You think he forgot that somehow? Why is he doing this? Well, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was smarter than Zechariah. She didn't actually say, "What are you talking about?" She just wondered. She wondered what this might mean. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Kind of a lot for a little girl to take on, isn't it? These four or five things. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Do you think you'd ever forget that? I was thinking about this as I was driving down this morning. And for some reason, I just started thinking about other things. And I remember one time I was in Texas, and I might have been 12 years old. My older brother Robin was 13 years old. And we went to my Uncle Frank's farm out there. Got in his Jeep. My dad was in the front seat. Uncle Frank was like this. We went out in the place. We're shooting rabbits with a .22 scope rifle. Thinking about things you'll never forget. I remember it was my turn to shoot, and I took the rifle. I wasn't paying much attention. I just took the rifle by this like this and turned it, and I was holding like that. My Uncle Frank looked over his shoulder and said, "Move that gun away from your father's head. You could kill him." I haven't thought about that in a couple years, a couple, five, ten, 6 decades. No, it won't be that long, whatever it is. Long time. And that came as crystal clear as if I was sitting there that moment. Do you think this woman would forget any of these things this angel said to her? It was an indelible imprint upon her of this mercy that God is showing to His creation. More than that, He is unfolding His plan through this young woman. You'll give birth to a son. How will this be? Mary said in verse 34. Since I'm a virgin. There it is again. I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This was an event that took place prior to her going to see Elizabeth. And she went then to see Elizabeth. And we see that she shared these things with Elizabeth, who is now very much pregnant. And we see Mary's song, that she gives glory to God through this beautiful repetition of the Psalms, several Psalms, as she gave praise to God for His favor that He showed to her. Sometimes we take this to it's a wonderful event, but I think that we need to define this idea. When it says, He says to her, you have found favor with God. We often think, oh, I've done something to deserve this. You know, she's done something. She's herself a virgin, of course, but then historically, in some places, we've gone to the place of actually saying she was also divinely created. Didn't go through a mother and father. She had her own immaculate conception. The immaculate conception of the Virgin Mary, who was the mother of God and so forth. You know, all have sinned. Are you right? Am I right? All have sinned. Mary wasn't chosen because she had no sin. Mary was chosen because God placed His favor upon her. In His glorious plan before the creation of the earth, this person is formed in His mind. These time frames are formed in His mind. And Mary was special because God showed His favor upon her. It wasn't because she was special and God chose her. She was special because God chose her, not because she was special and God chose her. Does that make sense? And so we see this strange type of thing taking place. And then we fast forward back to our text, our original text. We see in Matthew chapter 1 again. This is where I started, isn't it? Yes. And we see verses 19 and through 25. We see Joseph's dream and Joseph's trust. This is not just a story about Mary and an angel, and Zechariah and an angel. Another person's now engaged in the story. It's Joseph. And we see about Joseph that he is a righteous man. And was faithful to the law, it says in verse 19. But now he's discovered that she is with child. And so these events that we've reviewed in the past are now kind of coming to light. It's kind of hard to hide pregnancy, isn't it? I've seen a few people try to hide a pregnancy, wearing large coats and things like that. I got one young woman that she went all the way and had the baby. We didn't know she was pregnant. I just thought maybe she's eating too much, you know, or something. Babysat for us, remember that? We're wearing these big red coats and start thinking, boy, she's kind of gaining a little weight, you know. Next thing you know, you have a baby. Great. While you were sleeping, I had a baby, you know. This was not the case. Joseph discovered this early. Very likely she had even told him about this. Notice there it says that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You see that right there in verse 18? before they came together, she was found to be with child. It says, through the Holy Spirit. Likely, he was the first person she told, I want you to know something, I'm pregnant. It's not another guy, it's some Holy Spirit. Told him the whole story. The angel came. Angel came. It's kind of like Abraham. It says Abraham woke up, God appeared to him and said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the son you love. These four characteristics. Take him and go to the mountain and sacrifice him there. This is Joseph's story too. He's already trying to believe her. He's already seeing this as a way, it's not a way around this. And perhaps even to preserve his own lineage and his own reputation, he's thinking in his mind about go ahead and marry her, and then later on, like move to another town, or move to another city, and then kind of divorce her quietly because she's been untrue to him. So he's on the fence, isn't he? He's teetering between, what a crazy story. I mean, can you imagine, it was a mercy for Zechariah that the angel got a little miffed and he struck him deaf and he struck him dumb. Couldn't hear, couldn't see, comes out of the temple. He's going, so they say, you're making signs to him. And he's going, put him over there. I think something happened to him in the temple. And all the way up to the birth of his son, John, he couldn't speak. And then suddenly he asked Elizabeth, what's the name going to be? His name's going to be John. He said, no way. There's nobody in your whole family. It's John. And they look at him, and suddenly he's trying to make some noise. And he goes, thus saith the Lord. And he prophesies about him and his name and what he's going to do. And he's going to be a forerunner of the Savior. All these things just kind of came flowing out of his mouth. Here we see not quite the same response. Not quite the same response yet. And we see this story of Joseph begin to come to light. In 19, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, by the way, I don't know if you read Voice of the Martyrs. And I would recommend just subscribing to Voice of the Martyrs. They'll send you a magazine every month of persons who are currently are suffering, Christians in the world suffering, and even experiencing martyrdom. And I was reading this, about four issues ago. There was a man, and he became a Christian. And he became a Christian because he had a dream. He had a dream that someone was coming to him with a message that was going to fill him with joy. And in a very short period of time, this happened. And then, parenthetically, in the article, this person who was writing it said, this is a very common thing in Islam, to have dreams. And then the dreams, they look for them to come true. And most converts from Islam to Christianity have dreams that something's going to happen to them. It's a very powerful thing that takes place. Have you ever had a dream? I'm not saying we should now become dreamers. You know, I like when I say I had a dream, and somebody says, well, you know what that means? I said, don't even try. I don't want to hear it, what it means. But he had a dream. And in this dream, an angel appeared to him. He was a husband, a faithful man to the law. And after he considered this, this angel came to him and appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. That identifies a genealogical purity. Not everybody that had genealogical purity at this time frame were priests. Even persons born in a family, if you could relate to your father and your grandfather and your father before that and follow the genealogical records that were available at that time and arrive someplace, well, he arrived at David, the king. And all the way back. We see that in Luke's genealogy. I believe it's Luke. Let me just check real quick. Am I right? Yes. David, not Luke, not Adam. And he had this dream. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because she is conceived. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Yeshua. Same as Joshua in the Hebrew. Because he will save his people from their sins. Let me read that again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. This was more than a dream, wasn't it? This was an indelible vision. This was something that he could not debate in his mind, well, this is something I ate last night. And he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Some observations. Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there for a moment with me? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. Noting especially this verse. And this took place, verse 22, to fulfill what the prophet has said. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We see in Paul's examination of this moment, this event, he makes this statement in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where the law doesn't exist. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. Joseph is in the lineage of Adam. All men are in the lineage of Adam. Adam sinned, and in his sin, his nature fell. He took on a sin nature. His life was blighted, and his heart became what Jeremiah said about the heart of man. It is stone. It's not flesh. It's stone. It's dead. But time is coming when that dead heart is going to be replaced with a live heart, and the live spirit and the Holy Spirit is going to reside in there, in his heart. Not all men, but as he said, all men are in this condition. I'm sorry. All men are in this condition. And what is this observation? But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? What does that have to do with this nativity? I thought we were talking about Christmas Eve, Pastor. This is nativity. Let's lighten up. No, this is a time of God orchestrating His method of redemption. You can't be a better person. If you've sinned once, you're blighted. In our case, we have a nature that's fallen. We want to sin. It seems like the thing to do. Can't even stop ourselves. You ever been doing that? You ever have to have the Holy Spirit speak to your heart? Don't do this, 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 don't do this. Well, as you're doing it, that's just me, okay? That's just me. Why virgin birth? Why Joseph? Because sin passed from Adam through Eve into their children, and from their children to the next generation, to the next generation, and all are born into a heart that is dead before God, a heart of sin. From this original nature, Adam was our representative. He was the one that God gave a command to. He makes that clear. He said, this isn't talking about just people that break the law, because the law wasn't even around for years before this. It was by a command, and the command was given to Adam. You can eat of the trees of the knowledge, of the trees of the garden, but of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil you may not eat. And if you eat, what he said, you shall surely die. And we see the first thing, he becomes self-aware, and death comes to him. Death to God. Death of glorifying God, or seeing himself as an instrument of God's glory. Instead of seeing himself as an instrument of God's glory, he is a reflection. He looks at himself. Oh my gosh, I'm naked. I need some clothes. I gotta hide. We see his self-awareness come upon him because of his brokenness and his death that came to his heart. This passed on from man to woman, to child. Again and again and again and again and again, and still is taking place. Until it came to this perhaps a little bit older man. Some say Joseph was considerably older than Mary. He never had sex, never had a relationship, no conception. Yet she's pregnant, and her story is that the Holy Spirit has conceived in her, as the angel said. Some event took place that's going to overshadow you. It's going to be a transmission of some kind into her body. So she becomes pregnant, not by him, but clearly, something unique is taking place. Can we do one more? John chapter 1 for a moment. It's a holiday, right? So chill, you know what I'm saying? I spent too much time on Zechariah. I said this morning, don't you? Watch out with that Zechariah thing. You can spend 20 minutes just on that guy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Just in those few verses, Jesus taught this. This wasn't John sitting there figuring this out. Jesus taught this to him. Jesus shared this about his own person. In the beginning was the Word. What do we know at the Word? There's the Father, there's the Holy Spirit, and the Word. The three are the triune God. And it says the Word, in the beginning, the Word was with God. That preposition is with. It means before. In the company of. Somehow in the company of. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. Shows the relationship. They're in the company of one another. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is the one who is inspiring this. And so we see the presence of the Holy Spirit in that manner. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was before God. And simultaneously, the Word was God. We see this triunity, the mystery revealed of the triunity of God. That the Word, the second member of the Trinity, is with God and is God. I mean, how many gods are there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, it says in Deuteronomy. The Lord is, how many? One God. Here we see in this unfolding, in a new covenant context, this unfolding of this relationship between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit that reveals this. We could apply these same things to the Holy Spirit. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, identifying the full nature of the Godhead. In the beginning, at the creation, at the beginning of the creation. You see that right from the very beginning. And God said, let there be light. And He spoke, and His Word created. It tells us that in the Psalms. It tells us throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Hebrews, it's revealed again and again. The Word created by a Word. What are we? We're words. We're words that God speaks and that comes into existence. Now we forget that sometimes. Well, I'm not a word, I'm a person. What does the word person mean? We're words. All of us. The Word creates us and sustains us and identifies life. Everything about us is Him speaking and sharing what exists. As He says that everything was created by Him. And nothing was made that He didn't make. Were words spoken. And here we see in this text, it tells us this unique relationship about Mary's baby, that He's going to be born, and when He's born, He's going to be called what? Emmanuel. Which means what? God with us. And here the second member of the Trinity is identified. His relationship to the Father and the Spirit is identified. And then we go off in the bit of John again. You know, don't get caught in that. You know, it'd be 20 minutes to get through the Zechariah and all that. Oh, that's very interesting. Verse 10, He was in the world and the world was made through Him and the world did not recognize Him. You heard the name Jesus yet? The Word, it says. The Word was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who, say it, believed in Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. They couldn't be born of natural descent because natural descent brings them into a sin nature with God, as we've discussed already. So they didn't come by natural descent. Nor of human decision. They didn't choose God. Their choices were me. Jesus said, you have not chosen me in John 15. I've chosen you and ordained you to bear fruit and fruit that will last, or a husband's will. But they were born of God. And verse 14 brings us to this amazing revelation of what's happening in Mary. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, NIV doesn't include this, the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This first observation that the sin cycle is broken through Mary's virgin conception. And secondly, what is conceived in her is Emmanuel of God, the presence of the Word of God coming and sharing the nature, sharing the space, tabernacling, sharing the tent with Jesus the man. The man that's not born with a broken spirit. He's broken. He's not broken. Excuse me, he's not born with a broken spirit. He's born just like Adam was created, with a fully functioning spirit. That's great. I was going to say crazy because my mind's crazy now. That was great. Isn't it great? We see this leading to another observation. And this observation is that the man is not just there so we can look at him and say, oh boy, there goes the God-man. There goes the God-man. And people, they did identify him that way, didn't they? One I like so much is when the Pharisee, the priest sent and said, go rest Jesus. Just go get the guy. Bring him in here. So they go, brum, brum, brum. They're all marching out. You know, where's Jesus? They find him. And as soon as they find him, something happens. Okay, and so they go back and report back to the priest. And they say, well, where is he? He said, no one ever spoke like this guy. No one ever spoke like this guy. People begin to say things like, surely this is the Son of God. That this person, this man, is connected somehow to God. It's revealed to us in this first place in John, chapter 1, for the prologue, that the connection between Jesus, the man, is through the Word of God. He's in the Word. We see in the 11th chapter of John. Let's turn there a second. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate it. This was a 20-minute sermon when I started it. I was confident. I said, this is only going to get 20 minutes. This is going to be really quick. We're going to have three observations. Over. Merry Christmas. And, of course, that's not it. 17th chapter. I'm sorry. John 11 is the Word of God, too. Praise the Lord. Where am I? 17. Come on, where are you, 17? It's hiding underneath these. Okay, here we go. After this, Jesus looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The function of the Word of God tabernacling with the man Jesus was to keep him in that pure, unblemished state without sin, so that he could be glorified. What's that mean? Lifted up. So that God would be lifted up as he was lifted up. Lifted up where? On a cross. To give his life as a ransom for those that are identified here as the ones that God had given him. And he's prayed, I've lost none of what you've given me. Both now. Say, what about Judas? He identified him as someone who had a problem from the beginning. He wasn't with them from the beginning. But we have the 12. They're still called the 12, even when they're 11. The 12, the 70, the 300, the multitude, all commissioned as disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel, and all with a message that contains what we have discovered today, what we've said today again. I can't tell you the number of people that are so fascinated with the idea of a virgin birth. I've had people that joke with me. Virgin birth. You know, what's that do? Just get that, man. That's where the whole thing starts, man. You're exactly right. You know what that means, a virgin birth? You ever heard of a genealogy? Yeah, you're, well, you know, genealogy. Oh, I hate those genealogies. You go, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can't read the Bible because of all the genealogies. Well, they're there so you could trace from a guy like Joseph all the way back to a guy like Adam. It's there for a reason. Because that genealogical pathway to sin was broken and Jesus was birthed a man with a whole heart. And he was accompanied by the second member of the Trinity, the Word, who was with him and sustained him and prepared him to be lifted up. Lifted up before a holy God. Take me as a sacrifice and let them be free. What a gospel. What a gospel. What a need we have for a nativity like this. This is the stuff of God. It doesn't take long before you come to really serious decisions about who you really are. And what Christianity really is. Christianity is not just this religion to get you to be better than you are right now and stop smoking it. What's the whole thing? Smoke, drink, chew, and go with those who do. That's what I heard when I was growing up. Don't forget who you are, John, when you go on this date. Don't forget. Today we don't forget who Jesus is. I can't save anybody. I can't lead anybody to Jesus. I can only preach the gospel. And reflect the message that God has reflected to me and by which we've been born of the Spirit. What a glorious gospel. What a glorious Savior. What a glorious message of this day that we celebrate. This Nativity Day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to your holy name, Father. Praise your name. Bless the Lord.